Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy in our lives that forgives us and washes away our sins and keeps us right with you. God, we pray that you would just anoint us to hear your word today, that we'd be encouraged and strengthened by your word. And God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. Take a coal from the altar and cleanse my lips. Let me speak forth the absolute truth of the word of God today that would change us and transform us into your image. God, we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. So, before Dave gets back there and cranks us up, I should probably tell you, Jeremiah is doing better this morning. He said that he didn't really have a headache, so that was good. Last night when I talked to him, he said he had a headache still. Today, he said he was doing okay. He's going in. He should be there right now on the stress test, or the impact test is what they call it, for the test for the concussion and how severe it is. And so we're hoping that it was very mild and it was just enough to kind of daze and confuse him yesterday, and he's going to be fine, although there's a lot of people praying. Sherry and I and Daniel and Bama and JJ are all flying out there. Are all flying out there next weekend. So it's his senior night. So it could be his last college football game, more than likely, is this next week. And we're kind of hoping he gets to play in it. And then also his girlfriend we were going to go out and watch her play basketball in the evening, because her first game is in the evening that same day. And so, but she's not doing, there's something going wrong with her and she's not feeling well either. So she may not be playing. So we're going to go all the way out there. At least we're meeting her parents, I think, which I'm not sure what the significance of all that is, so we're going out to meet the parents so that'll be a nice trip anyways, but it'll be good to see the boys, or two of the boys. TJ wasn't able to get leave. He'll be there the following weekend after we leave. So, because he's graduating from his A school, and his assignment is Virginia. So they say he's going to Virginia. So, so I'm like, okay. But he says his squadron is out of California. So he thinks that his orders may be wrong. I said, yeah, but your squadron can be in several different places. So, he says, I don't think so, Dad. And I said, all right, whatever. And so, he's going to Virginia. I said, well, maybe they're changing you to a different squadron. He goes, oh, no, you get assigned to one squadron and you stay with that the whole time. I don't know about that either, but, yeah, I don't think that's true either. And so I said, okay, whatever, but he's going to Virginia. So he's headed. So that's what his current orders are, is that he's going to be in Virginia. So he'll be a ways back there too. But anyways, he's doing well. David's doing well. Everyone's doing well. Daniel seems to be doing well. And so, oh, Daniel. Yeah, your birthday's coming up, huh? You're going to be 17. My goodness.
How many days?
21 days? It's 20 now, isn't it? No, 21. 21 days. You keeping good track. Yeah, 21 days. Okay. All right, well, let's get started. Lord, bless this word. Amen. The title of my message this morning is caught between a rock and a hard place. If we're going to accomplish God's plan for our lives, we need to know how to stand against opposition, against the challenges of life. One of the secrets to our success will be learning how to remain unmovable when people and circumstances come against us. And it's hard sometimes to stay immovable. It's hard sometimes not to want to compromise and to fluctuate and to get off of what we know is the right path, according to the word of God. And, I'm not going to get political this week, but I'm just having a real hard time with some of the Christians that are out there today, not taking a biblical stand in how they perceive life and in all of life. and we don't separate sections of our life off. We're either for God or we're against God. We don't get to be for God on Sundays and then against him in other aspects of our lives. And that's the challenge, is that what we want to do is be comfortable in our lives. And sometimes we look at comfort rather than biblical truth. And so we need to live biblically based lives and not worry about the other stuff that affects our lives. We got to stay biblically true, and it's a challenge. And sometimes we get caught between a rock and a hard place on how to live our lives biblically and stay in the Word of God when challenges come at us and when things force their way in on us. We can learn a lesson on how to stand by looking at the children of Israel. After they left Egypt, the Israelites were headed to the Promised Land. You guys all familiar with the story. Moses came, delivered them from Egypt, and as they left out, in 3 million of them, they all leaving out across the desert, and they're coming across the desert. I mean, you all have seen the Ten Commandments, right? And so Moses is standing there, and after they had left, and they were headed to the Promised Land, they left a life of slavery and were looking forward to this better life. They were excited. But suddenly they found themselves in a difficult situation. The Egyptian army was pursuing them from behind. The hills and mountains were on each side of them, and the Red Sea was in front of them. And they were hemmed in, and it looked as though they were caught between a rock and a hard place. There was nowhere for them to go. They were backed up against the Red Sea. And so I want us to notice what they did the minute they got in trouble. They began to murmur and complain. In Exodus chapter 14, it says, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt?" Although for 400 years they had cried out for deliverance, they had forgotten God's promise to deliver them. They had been in bondage for so long, and then they cried out for a deliverer. The deliverer came. Now they're headed towards their promised land, what they had been crying out for years and years and years. And they were going for that, and they were trying to get there. And when it looked as if there was no way out, instead of turning to God, they turned to the Red Sea in despair. They were looking at their problem. They said, "Oh my goodness, this is big trouble. We're trapped. There's no way out." And they were filled with fear and didn't consider God. They looked at the circumstances through their natural eyes, and suddenly the bondage that they had just come from looked better, or it didn't look so bad. They wanted to go back to Egypt. "It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt," they said, "to stay in bondage." And this same thing happens to us today. When we're looking, when it looks as though our backs are against the wall, we may want to run and fall back into bad habits. The situations like this, or when we are in situations like this, we need to learn to stand firm and focus on what God says, and focus on God, which is what Moses told the children of Israel to do. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 through 14 says this: "But Moses told the people, 'Do not be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. And the Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'" Now, we shouldn't be surprised that trouble comes knocking when we're following after God and focused on his promises. The devil doesn't want us to go forward with God. And and will do anything he can to get us to quit and to fall back into destructive habits. We need to keep our attention. It's during times like this, we need to keep our focus on the Lord and remember and just continue to focus on the things of the Lord. I often talk about, because I come from addiction. So I come from the life of addiction, of drinking and drugs and that kind of lifestyle. I come from that lifestyle. And so I am very aware of the comfort drugs and alcohol offer you. I mean, I'm very aware of that. I'm also very aware of their destructive nature and what they can do to you. But here's the thing that I've always tried to explain this: why do people fall back into these destructive habits? And the reason they do is because, at least in my opinion, is because the road is comfortable. They know where the road goes, but they know every pothole. They know when you're going down this destructive path, you know where it's going, but it's familiar. And when you're walking with the Lord, the road you're on is often not familiar. It's not familiar at all. When you're walking down that road, there's challenges that come to challenge you, and you're like, man, I'm not sure what to do here. You get uncomfortable. And so then you get this sign that says, hey, turn down here and have a drink. You know, turn down here and smoke a bowl. Turn down here and do this. Turn down, and you're like, oh yeah, well, I know that road. So you get cautious of the road that is unfamiliar, this new life that you're trying to walk out in God. And what happens is that you turn down this familiar road, and then you get down this road, and then you're in destruction again, and you get to the end of the road, because, you know, it's not the first drink that kills you, it's the last one. It's the last one. It's not the first one. I mean, you start your death, but you don't really realize it until you get to the end, and then all of a sudden you're devastated by a life of drugs and alcohol, and you're sitting there going like, how did I ever get myself into this mess? Well, it started because the road became comfortable, and you stayed on that road. There was less challenges on that road. And so what we want to do is we want to turn our focus and our attention on the things of God, even though that road can become difficult at times, where we feel pressed in by circumstances. We need to stay faithful and focus on the Word of God. Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. You know, oftentimes we struggle with our new choice and our new life in this way of life that we've chosen. We've chosen to live after the things of God. Now, my wife thinks I'm against Halloween. I'm not against Halloween, okay? Because I don't really know if it's all that terrible if you're doing the right things on that day. However, okay, this year, okay, I don't know. Maybe it was just me, but this year, I didn't notice the distinction in the church. In years past, I've always noticed in the church, at least, the church makes an emphasis to say we're doing an alternative thing. We're doing this, you know, this trunk or treat, or we're doing this thing, or a harvest festival. And they always try to make an emphasis away from the evil part of Halloween, okay? And the evilness of Halloween. And so there's always been kind of an emphasis towards that. Away from that. And this year, I just, with all the social media and all the stuff going on, I didn't notice anyone trying to say, let's avoid the evil. Everyone was just kind of very, it was just like another holiday. We're all celebrating. And I thought to myself, I don't know whether that's good or bad when we're not trying to make a distinction. See, we are distinctly different. Believers are distinctly different. And there are times in our distinction and the difference between us and those that do not believe, you should be able to tell. You should be able to notice. There should be times when it's not easy to make a stand and say, look, I, like when it comes to next Tuesday, the two things I believe as believers are crucial issues that we should be voting on is life and what marriage is. Those are biblical issues. That's it. Everything else has, all the other stuff has nothing to do, in my opinion, with biblical principles. Those are the only two things. That's just me. And so, but it's not just me. It's what I believe the Bible teaches us. And there should be a distinct difference between us. We as believers should stand up and say, we're drawing a line in the sand. You cannot continue along this path of killing the unborn. This is wrong, and we need to change this. And you cannot, and listen, marriage is defined by the Bible. It's between a man and a woman, period. You can call them whatever you want after that. I don't care. Go be gay. Just don't try to change the biblical principles of what marriage are. You go to this church to get married anyway. At least let us keep that. Oh, I don't want to get into that. Okay. Too late. Listen, saying that we'll make a stand, a firm stand, or that we'll stand firm is easy. To say it is easy. But it is much harder when things start coming at us. It's not always easy to make a stand firm when the enemy is throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink. When you're trying to make a biblical stand in your business, and you're trying to do business right, and you're trying to do it the way God would have you to do your business, and you're trying to construct yourself biblically in business, and everybody else is cheating around you. What does that mean? Does that mean that in order to do business in this world, that you have to cheat and lie and be deceptive in your business? Or do you continue to make that firm stand? Because it's not going to be easy to be honest all the time. Listen, when you go to the store and you're a consumer and you're at the store and they mischarge you for something or they give you too much change, it's not easy in this economic climate to tell them, you gave me too much change, keep this money. Because you could probably use the extra 10 bucks. But when you're going to make a stand for God, because it's easy to say, I'm a Christian. Just look around. There's plenty of people that say, I'm a Christian. And then the rest of their lives don't appear to be Christian. We need to know that when we begin to make our stand for God and say, I'm going to serve God. Sorry, I'm going to serve God. There's going to come pressures from the outside that are going to try to force us to move away from the things of God. That are going to say, well, you don't need that. Oh, that's, I remember when I first got saved, when I first turned my life over to the Lord and told my dad that I'd given my heart to Jesus and that I was going to, start serving the Lord and that I was going to go to Bible college. You know what he told me? This is exactly what he told me. He said, I knew you needed to make some changes in your life, but that's not it. And I said, what? And he goes, that's not it. You don't need to make changes like that. And I said, well, Dad, this is what's is working for me. I'm going to do this. And now some, I don't know, 30 years later almost, it's different. I'm still here. I'm still pressing to serve the Lord. I'm still running the race. I'm not perfect at it. Yes, I have to go back and take away everything that ensnares me and slows me up, and I have to repent of my sins, and I have to keep moving forward, but I'm not quitting. I'm staying in this thing. I'm staying in Jesus. I'm staying in God. I'm not perfect at it. Don't go away from here thinking that I'm perfect, because I am not perfect by any means. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to quit either. And when I get caught between a rock and a hard place or a choice, look, there are times when life is pressured and someone says, hey, you want this? You want this? I just the other day, after what, 6, 7 years of hanging out with these guys out there at disc golf, somebody still offered me some weed just this last week. And I looked at him and I go, no. See, look, the enemy will still try. He's still going to try. He's in the business of trying to get you and me to quit, to fail, to come up short, to get us so pressed in that we want to go back to the familiar. It would be better for us to be in bondage than it would be to keep fighting this fight. It is not always easy to stand firm when the enemy is coming after us. Many people want to cut and run at this time of trouble. Half the battle can be just staying in our position, staying right where God has us, just standing still and letting God begin to do a work in us. If we're going to receive anything that God has for us, we have to learn to stay in a place He's called us to be, no matter how difficult it gets. There are times, I think, sometimes when things get difficult, we want to run somewhere else where we can be more comfortable, and we try to justify where God would have us to be. And if God speaks to us about moving, then move. If God speaks to you about staying, then stay. If God has told you to go somewhere and you're there, wherever that is, you're there. And you're saying, okay, God, should I stay or should I go? And God says nothing. He hasn't changed his mind. Oh, this is so important for you to get this. Because I remember a group of people in the first church I was in, I got voted out from being pastor, which is probably a common trend for me. But anyways, I was there, and this is what one of the people said to me after the meeting was over. They came up to me and they said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I said, well, I'm just interested to know that a year and a half ago, or just a year ago, you guys unanimously voted me in as pastor of this church a year ago. And so did God change his mind after a year? That's what I was just wondering. And they said, you know, Pastor, I wasn't sure, so I prayed and I prayed for God to tell me whether you were supposed to be pastor or not pastor. And I said, and what did he tell you? And he said, well, he didn't tell me anything. And I said, oh, really? Well, it's probably because he hadn't changed his mind yet. See, they thought no was because they didn't hear anything. Instead of, do you understand what I'm saying? They thought the answer was no. They came to me and they said, well, you know, it must have been no because he didn't say anything. And I said, well, don't you think he would have said no or yes one way or the other if he changed his mind? But because he was probably thinking, why did you ask this question again? So sometimes when God says nothing, it could just mean to stand still and wait. I mean, I'm trying to help you guys because this is crucial. Sometimes we ask God the question, and then when we don't hear anything, we just make up our own mind because we didn't hear anything. So we thought, oh, well, maybe he's just leaving it up to me, or this is a negative thing because he's not saying yes. Because if God was a yes, then he would say yes. Well, if God didn't change his mind, maybe he's not saying anything because he hasn't changed his mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it may be a time for you to just stop and wait and be still and let God begin to do a work in you, okay? And let God, because see, look, oftentimes we all have our list of things that we're praying about, right? So what if, this is just a scenario, what if God is preparing all the things that you desire in your heart for you? Everything. Everything you've been praying about. He's been eagerly putting this whole thing together. He's had to move someone from the East Coast. He's had to do this. He's had to do that. He's had to move this person over here. He's had to take this person and put him there. He's had to move all these things around. And he's just getting ready to pour out all the blessings that he has for you. And because it seems a little scarce, it seems a little shaky, it seems a little, oh, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do right now, you move. Not knowing, you just move. So you move somewhere else, and you get to this new place, and you're like, okay, God, I'm still praying about all this stuff. And God's up there going, well, I had it all organized for here. So now I got to reorganize it all for here, where you are now. Because I do want to bless you with all those things, but it's going to take some time for me to rearrange things so it'll work for you there now. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, sometimes in order to be blessed, we have to stay. Sometimes, just like Abraham, he said, for you to be blessed, you got to move. You got to pick up your whole family and move. And that'll start the progression of your blessings. But there are other times, like where Moses is telling Israel right here, when they're trapped in this position, hold fast. Stay where you are. Because you may think it's bad, but it's not. You may think that this is insurmountable. Every one of us encounters obstacles. How do we stand strong when adversity comes? When we have to realize that, well, this is what we have to do. We have to realize that God has a plan big enough to take care of us. God's plan is huge. You know, I often tell this kind of analogy because I think it helps us get a perspective of God's big picture. You know, when you think about it, in the very beginning, before God created man, he saw the beginning from the end, the Bible says. He saw the beginning to the end of man. He saw it all. He saw the whole thing, okay? And he did it anyway. And we're right in the middle of all this oppression, of all this sin, of all this stuff that's going on in this world, of all the horrible things that happen, of all the poor decisions of man. We're sitting right in the middle of this, okay? And this is not a surprise. He saw all this and did it anyway, because he has a greater plan. Does that make sense? See, God saw Hitler. God didn't make Hitler, create him. Oh, he created him, but, you know, he got deceived into sin. Does that make sense? Okay? And so a lot of people, well, why would God let that happen? Well, because you got the free will to choose him too. I mean, he saw it all. But listen to this in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11. This is the Lord speaking. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, nor your ways my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Yeah. Or nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from the heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So in other words, every day your faith should be built by the fact that it rains and it snows and the sun shines and that things grow and that seed is in the ground and you see a tree come from a sapling to a full-grown tree in your life, that you can plant a thing of tomatoes and see tomatoes come up, and that you have food to eat, that you have bread and substance to eat, because that's what it says. Listen, just like the rain comes down and the snow falls and it brings forth food from the ground, and you can eat and you can prosper from the food from the ground. Just like that. My words that I have written for you to read and for you to study and for you to know and for you to believe, these words that I have spoken from heaven, the Bible, these things that I have spoken from heaven, they will come forth from my mouth, and they shall not return to me until they have accomplished the purpose for which they were sent. So the word of God is being accomplished in our lives, just like it rains. Just like when you plant tomatoes in the ground and they come up. That's how the word of God will work in your life. As you plant the word of God, the seed of the word of God, into situations, you'll see it prosper and grow and be health to your body and to your bones and to your flesh and to your life. That's how the word of God works. That's how the word of God pours itself out. If we focus on the natural realm, things will look hopeless. The Israelites only saw the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian armies behind them. They couldn't see any way out, but God had made a way of escape, and it was through the Red Sea. See, sometimes we think that it's going around or finding. God will just move the situation. God parted the Red Sea. Listen, the Israelites, if you think about it, were not prepared to fight a war or a fight against the Egyptians. They were not. They had just came out of slavery. They didn't take a bunch of weapons with them. They hadn't been training out in the wilderness so that when the Egyptians came, they would conquer them. They hadn't been training for that. They hadn't prepared themselves for that. They were just walking through the wilderness, got up next to the Red Sea, said, oh, what a beautiful place. Look at all this stuff. Uh-oh, here comes the Egyptians. Now what do we do? God had to part the Red Sea. God had to send them through the Red Sea in order to set them completely free from the Egyptians, because that's where they drowned. If he had not separated the sea and walked them through there, they could have been defeated. If they had run off and went a different direction, they could have been defeated, because God was going to use the Red Sea to defeat the enemy. But they couldn't see that. And God's going to use sometimes things that you think are, oh no, they're in my way. God may use that thing in your way to defeat the enemy. You may need to stay right there and let the situation move itself into a position where you can walk through and God will crush the enemy behind you. Does that make sense to you? And so this is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you just have to wait on the Lord. You got to get in a position where you're ready to listen to what God has said. The more we focus on the impossible, the further down we'll go. But when we start to focus on that which is possible through God, the things that are possible in God, the possibility of healing, the possibility of deliverance, the possibility of success and victory, we'll see our situation begin to change. God has planned for victory and triumph for us. He has planned these things. In Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go to me in prayer, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." God wants to deliver us from the hand of the enemy, from the oppression of the enemy. God wants to deliver us from that. But we keep getting the enemy, believe me, when you turn your life over to God and you start to follow after him, that is exactly when the enemy comes in and wants to box you in and make you feel like There's no way out for you. You got to go back into this old life that you had. And you don't. Just stand still and see the deliverance of God. See God break down the enemy and separate and set you free. But we play a part in our success. Only we can determine whether we're going to be a victim or a victor, a faith failure or a faith giant. If we feel as if we're being beaten down by circumstances and the burdens, burdened with cares and gripped with fear and the weight and weighed down by just the grind of life. This life is a grind. This race we're running, I put it on Facebook this morning, this race we're running, according to Hebrews chapter 12, is the word race there is a word that in the Greek, which means where we get the word agony. And there are times in this life that we're living that are struggles, and we don't understand all the time. We don't understand. I mean, just this last week, within the Russian community, it doesn't even make sense. That guy that came over and to his brother or to his sister-in-law's house or whatever and killed the kids and the woman. How do you make sense of that? How do you say, oh, that makes perfect sense? It doesn't make sense. But the pressures of life, I mean, it's a grind. It's a grind, and we have to take heart and follow after the things of God and say, God, we're going to trust you. You looked at the big picture. You have a big plan. We're going to stay faithful to you. We don't understand the attack of the enemy or the deception of the enemy. We don't always understand that, but we know you are good and that you have a life and you have a plan for us that is not evil, but is good and a life of hope. God wants to refresh us and give us this and set us on a course of victory in him that we can follow after him. But it begins when we rise up and we begin to tell the devil who we are in Christ. When we know who we are as believers, you are a child of God. You are a king's kid. You are a prince. You are an heir to the promises of God. This is you. And until you stand up and say, I am a victor and not a victim, I will be a person of faith. I'll be a man of faith or a woman of faith. I'm not going to be weak in my faith. I'm going to follow after the things of God. I'm going to know the things of God. I'm going to move into my promised land. I'm going to stop looking at the impossible, and I'm going to believe that all things are possible through him who loves me. All things are possible through Christ. I'm going to look at those things, not the impossible. Because if I look at the impossible, I'm going down. But if I look at the possibilities that are in God, I will move forward. I will grow in the things of God. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. Thank you for your word. Father, I just pray if we're finding ourselves caught between a rock and a hard place right now, God, that we would calm our spirits and calm our minds and allow the peace of God to rest on us. That we would allow your peace to come on us and that we would turn to you and not look to the impossible, but look to the possible of the things that you can do, God, and the things that you'll do to set us free. God, I pray that you would work on every one of our hearts in this place. So many of us are found ourselves where, whether it's a financial rock in a hard place, or whether it's a spiritual rock in a hard place, or it's just a family or a personal kind of rock in a hard place, or a combination of all kinds of things that are pressing against us right now. God, I just pray that we would slow down and take a deep breath and breathe in the Spirit of God and the peace of God and let ourselves rest in you. And God, just begin to deliver us from the hand of the enemy. Do not destroy what is good, but prosper us, O God. Prosper us to reveal your glory and what you have for us. God, we just give you praise. We thank you for it. Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you drifted from that relationship and want to know him better. We want to pray with you. So if you'll slip up your hand, we'll pray with you. We don't want to embarrass you in any way, but we do want to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. Be with every person in this place. Encourage them, strengthen them. Let them know that you're with them and that you have a future and a hope for them and a plan. And that if they'll just rest in you and follow after you, that God, you will just bless them and be with them through every trial and every temptation and everything that comes against them. You'll be with them and you'll lift them up and you'll strengthen them. And on the other side of that Red Sea is a promised land that is so glorious, that's filled with milk and honey. And Father, we want to get to that place with you and let the blessings of the Lord be in our lives. God, we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.